this morning. You be so kind to stand with me. We want to read verse 1 and then verses 5 through 15. Verse 1 reads, thusly, and then 5 through 15. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts or bag for your journey or even two coats or sandals or staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. And whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it and stay at his house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your blessings of peace. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. Whoever does not receive you, nor heed your words, as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. You may be seated. Our reading comes from the New American Standard Bible. And at verse 1 again, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority. Verse 2a, I did not read that, but it says, now the names of the 12 apostles. Verse 1, he said, 12 disciples. Verse 2, he makes it clear that these are the 12 apostles. Verse 5, he says again, these 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them. An apostle means a sent one. So we hear him, he summoned the 12. He sends the 12. This morning, our theme is summon to go and make disciples. Summon to go and make disciples. And I pray that each of our hearts will hear the call on this morning of how important it is, brothers and sisters, that we are going to make disciples. And the first out of the gate, the first point of application here is the Lord's word is fuel for our mission. The Lord's word is the gas in our spiritual tank. Understand, we have been summoned to go and make disciples. Deacon Isabel, if you receive a summons to appear in court, I don't think you're going to take that summons and just lay it on the table and tell Deacon Bell, I'm not going. Most of us would realize we have a responsibility as a citizen to obey the laws in the land. Spiritually, the Lord has spoken. Brother Arrington, we've been summoned to go and make disciples. Think about it. Adoniram and Ann Judson, two of the early pioneers, American foreign pioneers, they left these shores in 1813 going to Burma, a Buddhist nation. Why in the world, 23, 24 years old, why in the world would you leave your home, Deacon Cofield, to go to a land that you don't even speak their language, where you have to learn their language and then translate the scriptures into that language? Take your family to an environment that's hostile to Christianity, a Buddhist nation. Somebody realized that the word of God has summons me to go. And you know, I have a daughter, two daughters, who gentlemen have asked me for their hand in marriage. And it is said that Adonai asked Anne's father for her hand. He even wrote in the note in asking that you may not see her again. And they both died away from these shores. But it's not just the Judsons who were early missionaries. We think about William Carey, the British missionary. These people were summoned to go and make disciples. We think about Lot Carey. You're sharing this week from the Lot Carey Convention, what they're sharing across the nation, around the nation. Lot Carey was an African-American. 1800s, made his way to Liberia, carrying the gospel. Summons. I pray that we can hear the Spirit say to us this morning that we've been summons, Deacon Bell. We don't just lay it aside. Of all the things that we do, we are to be making disciples. We're not called to come and sit and enjoy the journey to heaven and not be concerned about lost souls. We think about Jim Elliot, who again said a man is no fool who give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Died on the mission field. Summoned to go and make disciples. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God calling for us to move beyond these walls. And brothers and sisters, the gas, the fuel in our spiritual gas tank is the Word of God. They didn't have a different Bible than what you have. They had the same Bible that we have. The same Holy Spirit that we have. And they responded to the call, to the summon to go. Wednesday night we shared with the Dodgers that November 2002, it was the morning of installation for the pastorate here at Little Forest, that I got up that morning and was sitting at our dining room table when the Lord gave in my spirit as we were looking and reading his word, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 9, 13, and 14. He placed those words that still, Deacon Bell, is real. Guiding, directing us in missions even here. And what that verse says, brothers and sisters, God said to Paul, through Paul, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me. And there are many adversaries. God said, I'm going to open a wide door. And somehow I thought I gonna come in and the door be wide open when I get here. But I'm finding 13 years in that God is still opening the door wider. There's something about getting us ready. See, I didn't come in ready, Deacon Cofield, for the door to be wide open. There's some things he had to do in me to get me ready to open the door. There's some things he had to do in us to get us ready to open the door. But he gave the vision. And the vision is out front, and we're still moving toward the vision. He said, I'm going to open a wide door. Many opportunities within the church and outside of the church. Never been to the mission field, but 2016, the door opened a little wider. Brothers and sisters, he said, for effective service. I don't want you to gather just to have a good time. But effective service. People being transformed. People growing in Christ. People being touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Effective service, that we are guided by our God-given purpose. Not too long ago, we was in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, where he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Y'all hear what he said? He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Our purpose is more than celebration. It's spreading the word of God. And while this starts with me, it doesn't stop with me. All of us are called to be fishers of men. Not just good church members. Not just good choir members. Not just good ushers, good deacons, good deaconess, good teachers, good preachers. He said, no, fishers of men. Summoned to go and make disciples. Every follower should become a fisher of men. Every disciple should become a disciple maker. And so never should we sit down our title of Christian and just go about living in the world. Or just coming to church and playing my role. No, at the core of who we are, it's a disciple maker, helping others come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that they might help someone else become a disciple, a learner. Then we was not here long before the Lord gave us 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5, where Paul reminded the church, we talked about it Wednesday night, Corinth had made a promise to give funds for the poor saints in Jerusalem. They had not given them. And Paul said, look, the churches of Macedonia who are severely poor, they don't have much and persecuted. And, you know, but they pleaded to be a part of this offering. From what little they had, they insisted. We didn't expect it, but they first gave themselves to God and to us by the will of God. So the Lord said, in that open door, that we are servants in heart, abiding in grace. Because what Paul was saying to the church of Corinth, that it's by the grace of God that you are who you are, that we are who we are, and we give because of that grace. And you'll find out that that grace just keep getting deeper, keep getting sweeter, keep getting better. There's something about the grace of God. And brothers and sisters, it's important that we realize that this is not about our power, but his power. We dare rely on his power. When you're summoned We go in his power. And so we don't just sit around. We don't just sit down. Somewhere, y'all remember Acts 1:78? And he said unto them, it's not for you to times or the season, but the Father had put in his, but ye shall re. After that, the it's come upon you, and ye shall be unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He says to us, you've been summoned, and you've been given power to go and make disciples. So no matter what else we do as a church, we ought to be about making disciples. We ought to want to see people walk with God and watch God do some amazing things in you and through you because you've chosen to put him first. His word is the fuel for our mission. Justin, Carrie, his word was the gas in their gas tank for going and making disciples. John 12, we're going to get to the text in just a moment. John 12, 23 to 26. Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come. You read the Gospel of John, people were trying to get him to do certain things along the way. He said, my hour has not come. My hour has not come. Read the chapter 12, he says, the hour has come. The time is now for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You who love his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. That's why Jimmy Elliott said, he's no fool who give up what he cannot keep. You can't keep this life. All of us are headed to a grave to gain what you cannot lose. Brothers and sisters, summons to go and make disciples. He said, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. For anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now, don't you know, it's mighty nice when people dishonor you, when people curse you and put you down. And in your spirit, you sit there saying, Lord, thank you that I know you honor me. And I'm going to honor you. And no matter what happens, there's something about the relationship we have with God. That's why it's about relationship, not your church membership. Because when you have a relationship with the living God, and it becomes your life purpose to glorify him, there's something about the Holy Spirit living in me. When I want to do the stuff I know I shouldn't do, I yield to him and ask him to give me strength. There's something about our relationship that helped me bring glory to God that I don't have strength in and of myself. If we're willing, brothers and sisters, to make sure that we have a personal relationship with the indwelling Holy Spirit, he gives us victory when we don't have the power for it. He shows up. His word becomes the fuel that helps us to keep going doing the mission. It's so important. It's so important. Let's go to the text. I know you're ready to move. Let's go to the text. Chapter 10, last time we was in Matthew chapter 9. Let me read, if you don't mind, verse 35 to 38. Closing of chapter 9, as we step into chapter 10, he said, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. When you listen to what's going on around you, look in our school systems, look at our inner cities. We see people dispirited. We see people in despair. We see people, when we look at the gun violence, people dying every so many minutes, we see a people in need of a savior, in need of a shepherd. He says, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Presidential debate. Man, open the debate up talking about the size of his hands. I'm not going to go any further than that. But y'all, what kind of, where are we at today? The harvest is plentiful. Brothers and sisters, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. He tells them, don't just go, but pray first. Why do we need to pray first? Why isn't the church running over on prayer meeting night? Do we understand how important prayer is on this journey? Pray that you might realize that you're not going in your strength. You're not going in your power. Physically, you're going to make a step, but spiritually, you're expecting God to meet you. You're expecting God to make the difference, because only God can do what we need done. We can't do it. God does it. And notice, he tells them to pray. He didn't pray for them. He said, now he does pray for them later on, but he tells them here in this text, you pray. And you know what? When you pray, you might find out that you've been summoned. Would you dare to pray? Would you pray? Come to understand that God has summons you. And you don't want to lay that summons on the sideline and never pick it up and find out what you ought to be doing. Verse 1. He says, Jesus summons his 12. He calls them to him and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. He summons them. He gave them authority. Understand that this passage here, there are some truths that are timely, and there are some truths in Scripture that are timeless. This one is timely. He's speaking directly to the apostles who were in front of him. And he gives them authority. When did we get authority at the church? On Pentecost. Did not the Spirit come on Pentecost? And he has come to bring us authority, brothers and sisters, to do the work of kingdom building. That's why when you realize that he lives in you and you do everything you can to honor him, he's going to honor you. Because he's indwelling you. So we, like them, we have authority for kingdom living. And then in verse number 5, these 12, and notice, I didn't read the names, but he sends them out two by two. There's something about that, Deacon Anderson, that there are times we need one another more than we need money. We need one another more than we need that job or whatever it may be. We need to be able to encourage one another on this journey. So that's a reason not to stay away from church. Who we are fighting against is not flesh and blood. It's wicked spirits in high places. But his word becomes the fuel for our mission. But look at what he tells them, though, verse number 5. What he tells them not to do. He says, these 12 he sent out after instructing them, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans. but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How many of you know that God is a God of order? And while he's concerned, you start in Genesis with everybody. He started with the Jewish nation. He's a God of order. And brothers and sisters, what I like about this text is that when we become disciples, you don't go according to how you feel. How many of us are living this Christian life, or we didn't feel like coming to church today? I don't feel like picking up my Bible today. I don't feel like loving Deacon Cofield today. It's not about how we feel. He gave them instruction. His word was their guide. And God's word is our guide. It's not based on how we feel. If you want your mission to be successful, he said, do what I tell you to do. Don't go over there. I'm a God of order. Go first. Let me ask this question. I know who can tell me our number one prayer request on our top 10 prayer list for Little Forest? What is it? Okay. Anything else? I wish they'd give her the card, but since I know her, you just hold that card. We want to become a Great Commission Christian. That means that I'm going and I'm making disciples. Regardless of what anybody else does, it's my purpose to make disciples. And then we want to be a Great Commission church. That everybody here understand, no matter what we're doing on Sunday morning, on Saturday, that the end goal of what we're doing is help to bring people to Jesus Christ. So when we go in a restaurant and sit down and eat, we'll be thinking, how can I share? How can I plant and water? Because I want someone to know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a number one prayer, that I become, you become, a Great Commission Christian. And if you do that, you're going to be led by the Spirit in doing things that need to be done for the glory of God. So there's a difference between what he says to them in verse 5 and 6 and what he says to us in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Y'all know what he says in Matthew 18 and 20? What do you say to them in Matthew 18 and 20? Y'all don't forget. All right, I guess we're going to keep going. That's the Great Commission. The essence of it is that we are to what? Go and make disciples. The main verb there is making disciples. You make disciples as you go. Make disciples as you baptize. Make disciples as you teach. Those three are participles. This is what you do. You make disciples. Go and make disciples. Baptize and make disciples teaching. Whatever we do, we ought to be making disciples. That's our calling. Turn with me right quick. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. One of the major prophets in the Old Testament who was prophetic in his ministry. Chapter 7, 13 and 14. Now Daniel is seeing a vision in the seventh chapter. And in verse 13 and 14, in verse 9, he sees the Ancients of Days. We know he's talking about he's seeing God. After he has seen these earthly kingdoms, verse 9, he gets to seeing God. Verse 13, look at who he sees. 13 said, I kept looking in the night, visions. And behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancients of Days and was presented before him. And to him, talking about the Son of Man, Jesus, was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the people, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Now, this is some 553 years before Jesus shows up, that Daniel makes a prophecy to talk about Jesus coming and how his kingdom will consist of people of all nations. So in the past, he's prophesied. And then in the scripture where we're at today, we see him carrying it out. And then we get to the last chapter, 28. He tells us, he gives us the instructions to go and make disciples of who? All nations. Well, he's sending them just to the Jews. But we know we are to go to all nations. His word becomes the fuel for our mission. So why do you do what you do? Because of the word of God in my heart. And if you've been saved, his authority ought to compel us to go. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. And so we shouldn't do this reluctantly. Even though opposition will always be in front of us, we are to be willing and understand what he called us to do and be focused on it, because we don't know when he's going to come. But we go in his authority. We've been summoned. Look at verse 7 and 8. He says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now in verse 5 through 7, he had given them kingdom principles. But he says, go and preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Brothers and sisters, he says, start with the Jews. This is why it's important. I tell you, 13 years and the door is opening wider. But look how many years it took us to really begin to deal with the community. And see, God is a God of order. We could just sit here, stay in these walls, and never do what he wants us to do. He's not going to make you, but he's a God. He says, start where? In Jerusalem. Then you go to Judea. Then you go to Samaria. Then you go to the uttermost parts. And so while we definitely want to go to Haiti, we don't want to go to Haiti if we're not doing anything here. He said, you stand there. Be a witness. Touch the community. Let them feel and see my love. And you know, there's a number of ways we can get involved. And I encourage you, Sister, there is a pipeline from school to prison. Sister Griffin has made us aware of some meetings going on within the community that we need to get involved. You know, there are a number of things happening in our school systems where we as a people are bearing the brunt of more discipline than others. And there are times when our children may be autistic, different reasons, and they're not given the benefit of the doubt. And people who ought to be helped are being punished. And we find ourselves in that vicious cycle of the judicial system, and we get caught up in that thing. And so there are a number of ways for us to get involved. The world is abusing and misusing and leading people to a Christless eternity. And the church need to be concerned. Verse 9 and 10, he says, do not acquire gold or silver, copper for your money belts, bag for your journey, or even two coats or sandals or staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. He says, when you go, trust that I'm going to supply your need. He said, no, that's why you have prayed, because you're expecting me to meet you. And for another reason, I'm going to send you two by two, because you're going to need to encourage one another. Because where I'm going to send you, sometimes it will be dangerous. And we have the witnesses. There are so many that have been martyred down through history, church history. It's the seed. It's a bloody path of martyrs who stood. Some was burned at the stake. For what? Because this word was in their heart. And they were summoned. And the Spirit today is saying, help my people understand they've been summoned to go and make disciples. Wherever you are, make disciples. His word is fuel for our mission. But the last point, verse 11 to 15, we're going to close. His worth is also fuel for our mission. Anybody know that he's worthy? When you think about the gospel, what is it worth? When you look at your life, have you been changed? Or you just added some church to your life? Think about it. What is Jesus worth? Listen to what he says, 11 to 15. Whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it and stay at his house until you leave that city. God said, I'm going to provide. I'm going to open up somebody's heart for you that I bless, that understand it's a blessing in being a blessing. He said, as you enter the house, give it your greeting. Do you know you have power as a Christian? There is life and death in the power of the tongue. Do you understand that? That you can speak life. Somebody on their way to a Christless hell can be helped because of the words coming out of your heart. There's power when we've been transformed, and we know we've been transformed by this word, and we're willing to share it with someone else, knowing that they too can be changed because of the worth of the word, the worth of Jesus coming, the worth of him leaving glory, coming through 40 and 2 generations. He says here, as you enter the house, give it your greeting. And if the house is worthy, you know, you need to be able to tell people the truth. Christian, we're taking down, we're trying to go along to get along. And that is allowing some people to slip into hell. And you don't check into hell and check out. He said, listen, if the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessings of peace. If you don't want this Jesus that I'm talking about, then I'm not only coming with an invitation, but I'm coming with a warning. I want you to know the truth, that he died that you might be set free. But if you reject him, there's not another Savior on the horizon. No. There's not another Savior. I don't care what they tell you about Buddha, about Muhammad, about Hindu. I don't care what they tell you. There's not another Savior. God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't send him to condemn the world, but to save the world. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the Son of God that he sent. Don't agree with people in their sin. Don't encourage people to go to hell. He said, no. You take back your peace. Whoever does not receive you. How many brothers and sisters do we have on their way to hell and we won't say anything? Living in sin and we won't say anything. You don't have to beat them up, but you need to let them know the truth. He says, Jesus says, whoever does not receive you, nor heed your words. Can you see the worth of Jesus here? His worth is on the line. What are we doing with his worth? He says, as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off of your feet. Truly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do I have to remind somebody what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah the day God rained down a hailstorm? America is moving toward this same place. But Jesus said that if we reject him, it's going to be more bearable for that two cities than for the one that rejects him. Because there is a wrath coming. Just like grace is amazing. And brothers and sisters, we've been summoned to tell someone the truth. Because there's a wrath that's coming. And you don't have to earn this. This is not about checking the block. This is about acknowledging God for what he has said and receiving. As many as received him, to them gave he power, authority to become the children of God. You become a child of God. And see, believing is not just enough, because the devil believes. If you really believe, there must be some repentance. There must be a change. There must be transformation. If indeed you've been born again, just to intellectually agree is not enough. And keep living like he never came. His worth is gas in our gas tank. Do you believe that he came? Do you believe that he died? Do you believe that according to the scriptures, he rose on that third day? Do you believe it in your heart with the heart, with the mouth, man, confess? Believe it, that he came, that he died, buried and raised. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be. It's not difficult. It's not hard. But it happens in the heart. We've been summoned. I pray we go today understanding. We've been summoned, brothers and sisters, to sit and hear the gospel and refuse to receive it. It's listening without repenting. It's coming to church but never coming to Christ. Living a decent life but never transformed. That's not enough. We need to have a desire to share Christ with others. His worth, and I close with this, is fuel for our mission. His word, if you really want to be mission-minded, believe, trust his word. Trust his worth. And you find yourself wanting to share Christ with someone else. I close with Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. He says, just as John sees, he has a vision of what's happening in heaven. Verse 9 and 10, they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seal, for you were slain, and purchase for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. My brothers and sisters, Daniel 553 years before Jesus showed up, prophesied that he's going to come and that he's going to gather people from all nations. Jesus shows up according to the plan, born of a virgin. Brothers and sisters, walk on this earth. Yes, he did. Gave sight to the blind, raised the dead, delivered all, and transformed. Brothers and sisters, and then he gave the church. He said, it's expedient that I go. And if I go, I'm going to send a comforter. And he's going to lead and guide you in all truth. And then as he go up on that day, he tells them, this is what I want you to do. I want you to make disciples as you go. I want you to make disciples, brothers and sisters, as you baptize. I want you to make disciples as you teach. And you make them of all nations. Don't just stop with the community of Little Forest. And then John closes this thing. John is looking at heaven. There's going to come a day. We haven't got that yet. Well, we're going to celebrate with all nations. Because what? Because God said it. That settles it. Will you realize you've been summoned? There's a joy in this thing. I'm glad about it that God just allowed me to be a part, allowed us to be a part of his program. We've been summoned, brothers and sisters, to make disciples, to help someone break free. Break free of the enemy's hold. He was a deceiver in Genesis. He was a deceiver during the time that he walked the earth. But a day is coming when he will be bound. Will you, will I realize what it means to be summoned? Our Father, not God.